Let's report!
It, I might even guarantee it. When she tore me up, it turned me right into a paraplegic. Pair of shoes to copy and me, I'ma make you see it. When we fail for them, now we oughta know we wearing free ones. When you ghosted me, I gotta know, is there a reason? It was so abrupt, I had to think that there would be one. Conversations out of state, they're asking where are we from. I don't care about you, I got me a chick that's Caribbean.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the TPS Reports podcast.
Paraplegic. I think.
Paraplegic!
He might. I think that's evidence that he knows who we are and fucks with the Palmer Squares.
What?
TPS Reports, video, paraplegics.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't either. I don't know if I actually said that on anything.
Probably not.
Remember back in Texas? I wish that there was a pair of shoes called Pelegics.
To market to handicapped people?
So I could be like, I got...
Oh, you're already bailing. You have no confidence in this. Unbelievable. How's everybody doing out there? Episode 120, I think.
I got the new pair of Pelegics.
Right. Like a pair. Like two of them.
Yes.
Like shoes.
Right.
You want to call the shoes Pelegics.
Yes.
Just to make a pair of Pelegics.
Yes.
Joke. Like instead of Asics, it's Pelegics.
That's where I was going.
Yeah, I got it. I got it. I'm picking up what you're... I'm scooping what you're pooping. Oh, shit. We're both sick still, I think. That's what's going on our end. Listen to this. Listen to my voice.
Listen to this. How you doing out there in Radio Land?
Yes.
It's blizzardous out, so what do you expect?
It's hilarious. It's Chicago. That's where we live. I went out yesterday... And I've been taking it easy, right? I've been taking it easy.
Take it easy.
Yesterday, randomly, me and my girlfriend are doing nothing, and
not doing nothing.
My brother, like my half brother. I have a half brother and sister.
You got a brother?
Exactly, right? You know, like from my dad's marriage after with my mom.
Right.
So I grew up, but they're
family
like,
that I'm not much acquainted with.
Right. Not like your brothers, who I like grew up with them, like with you. You know, they
yes.
were. Anyway, but they're like, you know, college age now. My sister just graduated from college, and like she was at the Halloween show actually, and I smoked a joint outside with fans, and like she was hitting it, and I was like,
right.
like I'm smoking with my sister. Like I had that moment recently, and then my little bro, who he's like just got into college,
little brother,
hits me up out of the fucking blue, and I'm like in my PJs, look like shit, feel like shit, and he's like, what are you doing? I'm downtown.
All right,
like, are you around?
Hot for your bro?
No, I fucking like I'm just like I didn't plan to like get off the couch, and now it's like, oh, I want to like take my brother out to lunch or something. Like I guess I should, you know, put my face on. But I hide all my weed shit like out of instinct, and then he comes over and he's like, I don't know if you want to kill some time, but I got some weed, and I was like, you guys are at that age now. Like I
should have been hanging out months ago.
Could have been hanging out months ago, but I just had like with both separate, and then my sister came and joined us, and then we're all hung out. Went out for lunch and shit. It was great, what I'm saying. And, like, I just hit this point of knowing my little half-brother and sister on a level, like, beyond their... Like, I hit all the weed shit, and then he comes over, like, you guys want to smoke? And I was like, yeah, I got a thing. Like, I had to, like, I pulled it all back out. Like, it's just instinctual, but they're all grown up.
That's what
it's
you crazy. Do with family when you're grown up.
You smoke weed together.
Or you get drunk.
Coming for you, Dad.
You intoxicate yourselves so that company is,
but I also want to like, I'm not, you know,
better.
I don't want to like have all my paraphernalia laying out looking like a scumbag. Like all I do is sit around and smoke weed. I don't.
And he comes in, you look like a dork without any.
I look like a scuzzbag. But no, it was actually great. I don't know when you started smoking with your brothers, but that's so much different. I just hit
high
that
school.
Like milestone.
High school.
Right.
I remember that. I don't know the day, like the date, but I remember the day. You know,
yeah.
Where driving home from, I think, like a family event with my brother, and he passed me the pipe, and I was a freshman in high school, and I was like, really? And he was like, you're in high school now. Welcome.
You're one of us. But that was like, it was just like this. It's like, oh, like family. I kind of thought about this for years. Like one day, there's going to be a day where like my brother and sister will hit me up to be like to hang out or crash on the couch or something. And like I've always thought about that and like it happened.
Right.
And I was like, cool. Like that is a, I have a family. But that was great. And so we went out to lunch at this place like right down the street. And I'm like, I'm trying to, I'm not drinking. I haven't been drinking really with the exception of the Halloween show just because I'm over it. Tour, I'm over it. But then there's a Bears game on and we're just ordering food. We're drinking water. And then everybody gets a raffle ticket. The waitress comes over. She's pushing it hard. She's like, and if you fill out one of these with your email and whatever, you get another ticket. And then if you write on this thing and do that, you get a third ticket. Like it increases your chance. You know,
do it just to get her to go away.
The boss was like in her ear, I bet, of just like, hey, we really got to push these raffle tickets, you know, but make sure they know to sign up. It felt forced.
Now you get the fuck out there.
But I didn't do all that extra shit. Everyone just got one. And I said, I was like, look, I'm feeling pretty good about mine. So thank you. So then they do the thing. First giveaway, it's halftime of the Bears game. Everyone else is like standing around the bar watching a Bears game. And I'm just sitting in the corner with my family ordering food. And then they're like, first raffle winner, 201109. And then like nobody, like going once, going twice. 09 didn't show up. Mm-hmm. And then he goes, 201105. That's me. I won a raffle. So I like just hold my ticket up and go, over here. Start waving it. And I don't even know what I won. He's like,
have you ever won a raffle before? Is this your first time?
You know, I think I won one once.
Won one once.
At my old job, I couldn't fucking tell you what I got. But I think, you know what it was? It was like on campus shit. You go to like a fucking, when I had a job and then all the employees have some event. And then it was like a, you know, free basketball game and free dinner tickets for a thing. Who gives a shit? But this was way cooler.
It's tight.
They were like, so
it's better than what I know you got for at the bar.
He says, so the winner,
free basketball.
He says you get unlimited Miller Lite for the second half of the game. And I'm like, I'm not even planning to drink. But if he just said me and me alone gets free beer,
right?
Like that's my whole week. I just talked about this coming off tour. Like if you give me free beers, I'm gonna take them. So then he's like, but we're going to fill up this dog bowl with it. It was all kitschy. And he's like, we're going to fill up a dog bowl. The only rule is you have to drink it out of the dog bowl. No straw.
Is it a clean dog bowl?
So I start my day with like cleaning up my weed pipe so that my brother doesn't see it. And an hour later, I'm drinking Miller Lite out of a dog bowl in front of my family. Just like, truly. I watched somebody else.
What the offer for free shit. Well, you think you're all disciplined, like, I don't even feel like drinking, haven't been drinking in days.
Right.
And then the offer of free shit has you drinking out of a dog bowl.
I had two of them. I mean, like, it was probably like three beers each worth in a dog bowl. I was trying to figure out like what
saw the little clip. So you're not allowed to use your hands.
Well, that they backtracked on that.
What?
Yeah. They said you just no straw. If I can use my hands, I'm going to grab my empty water cup and just scoop out of the fucking bowl with my hand, and now it's in a cup. But I think one or two other people won, like, the same thing, and, like, legit adults, like, turned it down. Like, some lady was like, I'm not drinking out of a dog bowl.
Right.
Not me.
It's degrading.
I drank the whole second half, tied one on. But that was, like, my whole weekend. I've just been trying to fucking, you know, trying to get better.
You get
What happened? What'd you do?
I don't know. Unlimited shots.
God damn it. Is this the fucking, is this the mic or is this the headphone? Yo. Talk.
Talk. Talky.
Maybe it's the mic cord.
Talky.
You know what?
Talky.
It's the lug nut.
Yep.
Fixed it.
No, we didn't.
it might be the mic cable. We might need to switch that. Mother frick. Here. It's in the front zippy. Yeah, in there. Grab it. No, right in front. The fronter's in front of the zippy. There you go. Let's try this. Seamless transition. Look at this. Got one here, one thing going on over there.
Hello.
Hello.
Beautiful.
Is anybody there? Hello.
Hello.
God damn it. This is not glamorous, you guys. You should see how we how we make this podcast come to life each week. It's like Frankenstein's monster. There's just shit all over the floors, leftover parts. Yo. Does that work?
Yes.
Yeah, well, that's great. Now one of our mic cables is shot. That's just great. P.O. Box 25, whatever. We need mic cables now. The only other thing my week consisted of was stacking some fingerboard clips because Nate Kiz, producer, Nate Kiz.
I don't
you
know.
May know him from Spooky Language.
I don't know why, because I'm logged in on Instagram on both accounts,
yeah.
on my account and the Palmer Squares account, and I get like a little, you know how like when you get a message, you get a little notification at the top that says a little preview of the message. I get them for the other account too,
mm-hmm.
you know, so throughout the day, I'll just be getting little peeps at new messages from Nate Kiz,
yeah.
and they're all like...
He's into it.
That's not even a trick.
Yeah. Blooper reel. We send each other our fuck-ups that turn out silly. But yeah, on some ultra nerd shit, Nate Kiz challenged me.
Uber goober stuff.
Like, he sent a clip of him doing a fingerboard trick. And he look, we've talked about it, you guys. I grew up a three-finger man, okay? I'm a three-finger man. I pop off my ring finger. But however, you see these guys out there. I don't get it. It's not only are they like doing kickflips, popping off their index finger, right. which is insane to me. But I've been
three
using
fingers
this challenge.
Feels good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know who these dudes are that only want two fingers.
I can do my whole fist. I can fit it all.
I use my arm.
So he sent a trick, and then I felt like it's been challenging me to like try and get on that level. So when I send tricks back, I'm trying to do them two finger up in my game a little bit, for sure. But like. So we're playing a game of skate, and it's like horse and basketball, but with, you know, tricks. And instead of being a real skateboarder who's cool, we use our fingers alone in our rooms.
Right.
How
do you know that it's first try?
Well, when I put those up, that's because they legit were first try. That's not even something I sent to Nate. Like,
so it's like a horse game, but you have as many tries as
it's
you
ultimately
want.
Like, if you can't send the trick back, we would do a letter, I imagine. But we're right. not even there. It's like we're toiling for hours to get these tricks. But yeah, I'm trying to get the two-finger game right. And but he's sending all sorts of shit. Casper slides, impossibles. He can do impossibles. I have no idea how to do. They're impossible. They're fucking like, how do you swoop it around your finger? My girlfriend bought me a reading light a few weeks ago because I was saying how on the East Coast tour, there was a bunch of nights with long drives, and I had The Shining. I was reading the Shining.
Oh, I thought you meant she bought it just like as a generator for skate spots.
Well, that's what it is now. That's what I use it for only. I have not used it to read a book once. I brought it with the whole West Coast. Because I got back, I was like, there were plenty of nights. I'm just sitting in the car, and I wanted to read, but there was no light. And I didn't want to just like, you know, turn on the fucking whole car lights for everybody. Wouldn't do that. So then she got me one very generously. Yeah, but then I gotta like hold my phone and shit. It's like, dude, you can clip
hold the phone.
Fuck that. I'm getting clips on the reading light, but now I just clip it to the side of my table and do fucking fingerboard tricks.
There you go.
It's like, legit. Like I'm on call. Like I'm doing something else. I'd be like, hold on, I gotta go hit at this. I set
like
up my light.
Like a real distinguished adult gentleman.
Yeah,
would use a reading light for.
Absolutely. But yeah, up in the ante, I'm going to put some of these, I'm like sitting, I have stock of tricks too. I'm waiting for him to send back him getting my varial heel backside nose grind. I'm just sitting on more, dude. I'm just sitting on
We've had
stock.
Suggestions from fans that we should do like a video or like a video part. I don't think I'm,
somebody reached
I'm
out
there
about
yet
that.
In
yeah.
my skill set.
Maybe not.
What I can't believe was these dudes, first of all, these dudes out there who post clips of the fingerboarding shit. And the two-finger guys, it's like they don't even like go back when they pop.
It's insane.
I don't understand the physics of it.
It's insane.
It doesn't look physically accurate, physics-wise. What I'd also don't understand is the filming on most of them.
Yeah, a lot of these dudes are filming themselves, and it's
I try and
clean.
Do that with my phone, and it's like I have no idea how to be holding it anywhere that's getting the shot
I have to
and
be stationary.
Also be concentrating on the other fingers that are doing
these
a
dudes
trick.
Are doing lines. They're like doing three, four tricks in a row, following themselves, holding, I imagine, in their left hand, their fucking phone camera. And like, I do that. I'm sitting down.
Well,
I'm like, I have my left hand bolted. Like, that's the angle, and you better not fucking miss it.
That one dude that you showed me, Nico.
Yeah.
Nico
Frank FB.
I've seen people comment, like, what kind of camera do you use? And his answer is not a phone.
Yeah.
I don't know. I couldn't tell you what his answer was, but I could tell you it wasn't a phone.
I don't know who your heroes are in life, who you look up to, but this guy, Nico, the way he films the fingerboard trick. But, yeah, that's like...
I saw recently
that's
he
a
posted
new thing,
a thing
in my life.
Like, he got invited to the barracks off of fingerboarding.
Yeah.
And he actually
Living
skates.
Living the fucking
He's like,
dream.
I've been skating my whole life. I never would have thought that And he holds up a fingerboard like, this was what would get me to the barracks.
Toy Punks wrote into the podcast saying he briefly talked to Term about it. But I remember this guy. He came to the that house party show in, during the summer. My name is Jordan, and I run Toy Punks. I do toy photography and some YouTube videos, always trying to promote local music. Anyways, I thought it'd be awesome to do a fingerboard video featuring you guys with a brief interview talking about how you guys are into fingerboard and maybe history of punk rock growing up, being from Chicago, all that. And also film a highlight reel of the dopest fingerboard tricks.
Toy photography is one of those things that, like, your parents rag on you for even doing, you know? And then it winds up, like, getting you a job at Disney and you kill it.
Could be.
You know? I watched something about some guy that did that in his spare time.
I was thinking
and he wound up getting a job from Disney or Pixar or some shit. And he'll like, fucking... You know, there's like smoke and explosions in the shots, which, you know, he talks about. You only got like one shot, like 1 millisecond to get it right.
Yeah.
It's insanely nerdy, just like what you're doing.
I thought, but, thank you.
It's cool.
I was thinking recently of like, you know, a series of fads growing up that like my mom probably was just like, oh, you know, like I got into like WWF as a kid, so then I got really into collecting WWF action figures. That cost my mom maybe thousands of dollars of like Christmas gifts or all of middle school.
Thousands, I don't know. Yeah, about that. Couple hundred. They were $5
a piece. They were worth thousands. That was like how important it was to me.
They were $5 a pop.
Yeah,
I used to get one every time I would hang out with my grandpa because my grandparents divorced when I was a kid. So then it was like my parents and my grandparents divorced. So I would spend
rough Christmas.
Weekends with my dad and then some weekends with my grandpa. And I knew every time I spent a weekend with my grandpa, I get a new toy. We're going to go to Toys R Us and I'm going to get a new wrestling guy. Mm-hmm. Not just a toy, a new wrestler. You know, because my mind is made up.
You got to just think that like your parents are like waiting out the fad of like when's going to be my time? Stop spending money on this junk. I used to have like tech
I thought about it recently.
And handboards are still in middle school. I would ask for those, like handboards especially.
Let me tell you what a fag I am. I went on a vacation with my family to Orlando, probably to like Disney World or whatever when I was a kid. And we went to a flea market, and my mom gave us each like $30 to spend at the flea market, mm-hmm. or probably for like the whole vacation, maybe.
That's your allowance.
My two older brothers at the flea market found a knife dealer, and they bought show knives with their $30, cool. Like really cool, sharp knives.
Is there
really,
like a rattlesnake on the handle?
Yeah,
of
like
it?
Cool handles. Ian's was like one that you hold like this, and it goes like between the fingers or whatever.
Oh, so you can punch a guy and stab his eyes out.
Ian winds up, we rented like a hotel or condo or whatever for that weekend.
Yeah.
And Ian wound up slicing his finger open with his knife while trying to cut the tag off of his t-shirt with it.
I think I told the story. I cut my index finger with a fucking with a pocket knife once because I was trying to cut a curtain to accompany my WWF.
If you're a child
ring,
and you're listening, and you ever get the idea to cut a tag off a shirt with a knife, don't do it.
Be sure you know what side the sharp side is.
Just don't do it.
I flipped a pocket knife upside down. Again, I was making a draw curtain so that when I, like when Stone Cold Action Figure would walk out from the arena thing I had.
Yeah, so he can come the from music through the curtains.
Yeah, he's not just going to walk out naked. You got to like make an entrance. So I was cutting a curtain to hang up on my like wrestling intro piece, and I sliced my finger open because I'm a kid who doesn't know what the dull side of a fucking blade is. Asshole.
So anyway, at the flea market, I spent my money on, and this was like 1999 or 98 or something.
It's 1999.
There was a dude at the flea market who had like a green screen, and you can take fake pictures with celebrities, you know?
$30 this cost you?
I don't know if that was the minimum, but I spent all 30 on it for sure.
I'm trying to think of any celebrity who's worth the fake photo.
And it's 1999 fake photo, so if you could see it today, it would be...
I thought you meant that's how much it costs, like blatantly, plus tax, it's 30.
Blatantly not real. So anyway, I did that, and I got two sets. A set of photos with me with Stone Cold, and a set of photos of me with The Rock.
You could have had a rattlesnake handle blade, dude.
And I got like one 8x11 of each, and then like four wallet-sized ones.
Oh my god!
But the thought was
for
that
your
was going
and family.
The thought that was going through my head was recently, when I remembered this, was how like if I had kids, kids are such losers, dude. They're so lame.
Try adults. Look at us.
That, like, you know, like, just thinking about me being in the shoes of my mom, where, like,
I used to wear your mom's shoes?
Yes. Who didn't walk around the house in their mom's shoes?
Okay, makes sense.
For laughs.
For years. Alone.
One time, my oldest brother made me and my middle brother, Ian, put on a dress each of my mom's clothes.
Okay, this says a lot about Zach.
Not like naked or nothing, like over our clothes, and wear high heels and fist fight each other wearing high heels and dresses.
Wow. Cat fight.
Anyway, I was just thinking about, like, giving my kid an allowance and then having to, like, not shake my head in shame at the nerdy shit that they use it on.
Yeah. It's like, that was my money. I earned that to support my kid, and they're taking it and getting, like, cropped head in with stone cold pictures, wallet sized. Like, several pics.
I can't even make the words. It's like, to think that as a parent, you would rather have your kid buying a crazy sharp knife than anything.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
but I found
badass.
The one thing. It was not badass.
And then I think, like, remember we would go to my house.
I wish I had one of those.
After high school and fucking, like, record our shit garbage first music ever. I know my mom was looking
at... Your mom should have pulled me, like, by the earlobe to the front door and fucking kicked my ass out of there. Unbelievable that she had the restraint.
But still, like, I've, you know, my mom's a huge Palmer Squares fan now. But,
Mommy Metal.
You know, it's, when is this fad going to wear off? Maybe never. We're doing all right. Hopefully making a living off of it. But yeah, you got to look at anything your kid is doing. Of like, would you fucking stop writing shitty raps and saying that? I can hear you through the wall. You guys suck. You know, do your fucking homework. And then, yeah, I start asking for, you know, I want a mic. My mom's probably just like, shut the fuck up. Like, I bought you a drum set, you quit playing drums.
How about I buy you a nice Cactus Jack to shut you up?
Yeah, it would work.
Cactus Jack's a rare one.
I
had a Cactus Jack, and my dog chewed it up.
Somebody else wrote in somewhere. Let me find this.
No, let me finish the Cactus Jack thing. You couldn't get one.
I'm going to let you finish.
Like, solo. You had to get it. The only one that I could ever find was the one that I had gotten, which was I got a ring for Hanukkah. Like the fucking ring that they wrestle in, and it came with three action figures.
Yeah.
And one of them was Cactus Jack.
But you can't get it solo.
And that's the end of my riveting story.
Wow. somebody writes in.
And my dog chewed it up.
Bushwick Biron said, quick point of discussion, maybe touch on it next podcast. Got to get out and do some real skateboarding once in a while. This was him commenting on my sick kickflip nose slide on that rail.
Maybe you touch on my peen, bro.
Got to get out and do some real skateboarding once in a while. Best exercise, fun vibes, and a great chance to interact and grow your fan base at skate parks. Look at this networker. Thinks I'm going to go like hawk my mixtape at the half pipe. doesn't matter if you're rusty. Winter's coming, and unless you're somewhere warm, you'll regret not taking advantage. I mean, Chicago, that ship sailed. It's fucking snow outside already. But dude, I haven't skated in years.
Yeah.
Seth still skates. Me, I can't. I agree. If Palmer Squares is my life now, like my life when I was 13, 14 was like going out and skating a curb 6 inches tall with my friends. It was like I lived
the
for
things
it.
That we used to call spots is fucking.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
We'd be like, you want to go skate Tark, which was our old elementary school, Tarkington.
Tark.
And like we would like even nickname it like it's a spot. It was a curb.
It was a curb. And then there was like a, we had a, like a bank, like a transition.
We called it a bank.
It was maybe a 6% incline of asphalt. There was no hill.
Like from the bottom to the top is maybe like a 2 foot inclination.
Like if you rolled up it and then where it stops because, you know, gravity, and then you do a kick flip and then roll, you won't roll back down. There's no,
you gotta give it the little hip. Like,
yeah, you gotta skitch the hips around.
Yeah, I try to make it to the park. Downtown as much as possible.
Remember we used to call that one by the airport drop zone? There was a drop, and it was like 2 feet with just some grass. But we called it drop zone.
It was terrible. last year when we lived in the same spot downtown, we were really close to the highway that takes you to Grant Park in Chicago. And I hit up the skate park like 2-3 times a week for that summer.
Yeah, you still got it.
And it felt great. Yeah, I don't even like, I don't shred. I stick to my own devices nowadays, which is no complies and wall stuff.
Yeah, you got a bigger fingerboard catalog now than you do real tricks.
Probably.
You're gonna surpass, you know, you got to challenge yourself. Like, you know, do a kickflip with your feet, do it with your fingers. That's how you learn.
Yeah, I love it, though. Working up a sweat always just makes you feel better.
Yeah, I just...
And I love doing it at a skate park.
I'm too much of, like, a scared old man now. I feel like I'll hit a pebble as soon as I, like, take my first push. Later, guys. Skate away. On a rock. And then, like, fall. And now my knee already hurts. I'm going to, like, scrape it all up. I'm just, like, chaos theory me falling down a lot on a skateboard because my joints ain't what they used to be.
I'm pretty comfortable in my comfort zone, but yeah, I'm past the point at almost 30 now. I'm past the point of like learning shit. Like today I'm going to learn crooked grinds or whatever. I'm comfortable with, I never did crooked grinds.
Yeah.
Or any grinds.
Never too late, but you're saying no, you're not willing to learn now.
No.
Well, we're getting way too philosophical. Let's do some intellectual stuff. And you know what that means? It's fan questions. Volume up, mic cord operational. Let's go.
What's happening, jabronis? I got a really stupid would you rather. Yo, would you rather have your hands be at the bottom of your ankles, like where your feet are, and your feet at the end of your wrists?
I like this way of describing this. It's a much easier way you could say this. Would you rather have feet for hands or hands for feet?
Well, so that's scenario one.
Like you have feet, hands, and hands.
Still
feet.
Going.
Well, we should have let him finish.
You'd rather have your butt where your dick is and your dick where your butt is.
Ooh.
Oh, wait a minute.
Feet, hands, feet.
Hitting girls doggy and facing the other way. It was like ass to ass.
I don't want
to
jerk off with something I can't see.
So like if you're the only guy with the hand, feet, hand thing, you're going to be like bullied like crazy. You can wear pants over the like butt dick thing, so people wouldn't look at you like a freak, you know?
Wow.
So I might go with the butt dick swap so that also my sex life can be a little more flavorful.
It tastes like shit when she tries to suck your dick.
Yeah, I want to like hold a girl's head while she eats ass.
You can like half shit out a shit, so it's like the shit log is hanging out of your ass and then trick her that's your dick and make her suck it.
Well, that's rape. You're still tricking. Can't do that.
It's not rape. She was agreeing to suck your dick anyway. She just wound up sucking a turd.
Are you agreeing with my choice of going with the genital swap than the hand-foot thing?
Absolutely not.
You want feet for hands.
I don't want either of these things, but
give me a high five and your kick.
If I had to rather kick. One, yeah, I don't want my penis behind me.
Jerking, it's too hard. I guess it is.
Exactly, and that's a pretty important activity in my life. I could learn to jerk my already front dick with my new hand feet.
I would just be really into like ass play. I would just finger my own asshole because I couldn't reach.
Or get really into foot play.
Yeah.
And just give yourself a foot job every time. That's probably the way to go.
Yeah, you got
to
jerk with your hand feet.
Like the bottoms of them, just clamp them together. Yeah. And then like jerk like your like prayer hands, but with feet.
Yeah, like you're fucking, like you're whittling a piece of pottery and ghost. Like,
Like you're starting a fire with two twigs.
I'm going to still go with butt dick swap reversal, you know? I'm going to take a shit standing up.
Just launch it.
Yeah, just launch it.
But then you got to pee sitting down.
Oh, that's kind
of gay. And then your dick is like hanging off of your butt too, you know? So when you sit down, your pee would be like, your dick would be like in the water.
Yeah.
It'd be like when you fill up a pool with the hose.
Right.
And you just put the hose in the water. You don't even hear it. You know, like, see it. Which would be like at nighttime. It would be pretty considerate to like anyone else, you know, who, you're not being loud pissing.
Yeah. I guess, I don't know. Now I'm conflicted. I thought I had my answer all lined up.
You don't want your back dick hanging like in the toilet water.
That would be uncomfortable. I'm kind of OCD. I would like have to like not only have to sit down when I pee, but I'd have to use like toilet paper to dab the head of my dick. Mm-hmm. Like that's, I don't want to live that way. I'd smell my farts too much too.
Yeah, they'd be going.
My
right
farts
out.
Would be double smelly because at least you can like walk out of the room. It's like you walk right into it when you're farting, and your ass is where your dick should be.
Right.
Yeah. I think we've hit it.
You just gotta walk out of the room backwards.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
These are real simple solutions.
I'm gonna keep with the butt dick thing. I'm open for the challenge. You know. I can adapt. We watched that dude, Felipe Nunez, skateboarder with no legs. Mm-hmm. He defies all odds. Look, if my dick were where my ass should be and vice versa, I'm going to succeed in life, all right? That's not enough to hold me back. I'm going to be on fucking Oprah and Ellen and all that shit.
It's
I'm going to have a triumph story.
That guy skates, and he shreds, like, huge rails.
He's amazing.
And stuff,
yeah.
With no legs.
That legitimate. I don't skate,
there's
and I
so
have
many,
legs.
So many ways that he can get hurt doing that, but to me, when I watch it...
Like, you only have your head to fall on.
When I watch it, the thing that's still the craziest to me is how much danger he's putting his fingers in.
Yeah.
You know, like when you sit on your butt and scoot on a skateboard and like try and like
right.
bunny hop.
You're like pushing, you're waving your hand on the ground in front of the wheels.
You're going to run your fingers over.
He probably runs his thumb over all the time.
Yeah, he probably doesn't even notice it. And that's the one thing that I'm like, ooh.
Yeah. You ever, you know, sometimes like stubbing your toe hurts worse than if you like were beheaded or something, I feel like. Yep. You like break a bone, but if you like, you know, like stub your toe or something. Like I popped a zit the other day and I was like, ow. It's like it didn't hurt that much, but it was like surface level, you know?
Was it on your dick?
No. But it like, yeah, dude, that guy's insane. And that inspired me on a like human level watching that originally. It was just like I don't skate. Like I'm not going to go try and do what this guy does. But that dude, right. Everything is saying don't skate.
Yeah.
Like you don't have fucking legs below the knee. This isn't for you. And he fucking
right,
shreds
your own
better,
body
than,
is
that,
saying
better than me
not
with legs.
To do this. Yeah. This is not a good idea. Anyway, back to the back dick thing.
Of course.
How are you going to sit down? You're sitting on your dick and
you
balls.
Just face plant. You just fall face first onto futons.
Right. You got to bend the other way now. Mm. Then you sit down all day on your dick and balls. You're going to start getting hemorrhoids on your dick.
Yeah. See, I think, you know, you're painting a clear picture of all the cons are, like, what are the cons of the foot-hand switch? It's like, I've seen documentaries and people with no hands that, like, count money with their feet and, like, they art, they draw with pencils with
you
their
toes.
You
can drive. If
you can
got,
learn.
If you have no arms.
Yeah.
Because I saw a thing on 2020 once about this girl.
I'm listening.
She legally drives with her feet, you know?
Yeah.
I remember I was watching that with my mom and our buddy Keith back in, like, middle school. And me and Keith come down and she's watching 2020 all serious. She's like, shh, you know, and it's about this girl that was born with no arms. And then they show like little child footage of her where they bought her like
footage, pun intended.
It's like shoulder, like football shoulder pads, but with little plastic arms attached, you know, like a little thing to put on her with fake. And she's just going like shaking them around,
shake.
You know?
Yeah.
And Keith and I just busted out laughing at the visual of that.
Again, your mother's probably just like,
and she
mortified.
Like really angrily was like, if you're not going to take it seriously, get out of the room.
It's like, well, then I'm out of here.
We left. We went down to the basement too.
I actually sat next to
not watched
a lady
things.
On the train yesterday, like 2 days ago. And
no
was,
arms?
She was on her phone. She was holding her phone with one hand and scrolling through it with
holding
her
phone with her one hand
with her hook hand.
Hook hand.
It was like it didn't have, but she had like a. It, she had an apparatus almost like that to hold the phone up. Like it was a like
she,
a,
she
like
watching,
an add on. Like they sell you more shit. Like
she watching Hook.
Come on, man, you're better than that. But it was like it's almost. I never thought about that. There's probably like accessories for your what's that called? Like the fake limb. Your there's a word for it.
I wasn't even paying attention because I was grilling myself on the inside for not being able to pull a line from Hook.
Come on, dude.
Over that.
Dustin Hoffman?
Nothing.
But yeah, it was like...
For like years, I thought that was Jeremy Irons in the movie. He's doing Jeremy Irons' voice.
Let's do another...
I wonder if Jeremy Irons was like, when that came out, like, what the fuck? Why didn't they just get me?
Who's Jeremy Irons?
Jeremy Irons. Google him. You know who Jeremy Irons is.
Am I supposed to recognize Jeremy Irons?
He's on Watchmen right now. He plays the old man Ozymandias.
Right. I still don't know. Oh,
which,
yeah.
Last week they showed him with his shirt off, and he looks great.
Let's see.
Like washboard, dude. He's more fit than me. He's like 70 years old.
Hey, he's born in 1948. I knew that.
What? How? What did you?
I'm looking at his Wikipedia, stupid.
Is he 70?
Well, I didn't do the
you know
quick
that
math.
Guy.
Yeah.
He sounds just like Captain Hook sounded.
Let's do another. It's actually another Would You Rather.
Who would win in a fight?
No, it's not.
Mike from Breaking Bad or Omar from The Wire? Thank you for your time.
I thought he was going to say, who would we rather fight? But he said, who would win in a fight?
Is this even a serious question?
Well, I mean, they both got guns. Here's
what does it mean, fight? A gunfight or a fist fight? It's a fist fight. Omar shatters Mike's face easily.
However, Mike is
he's an old man.
Yeah, but Mike is known for being stealthily creepy. And Omar, people like, he whistles. People like, he's coming. It's a fucking dead giveaway. It's Mike every time. He's just going to snipe him from the side because he's like, oh, I hear whistling. I should probably set up my shot. Click, clack.
Nobody
bow.
Ever said, oh, shit, Mike's coming.
Mike. Watch out for, Mike. So fist fight.
Fist fight
is Omar all the way because it's an age difference. Because
he's young.
Yeah. But if we're
more so because Mike's old, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And Omar's like anti-drug
he's
and
too
Mike.
Old.
Mike like supports drug business. You know, he's like he's a more moral.
There you go.
Individual.
He would even have some like
some god complex.
Some moral oomph behind it.
He'd have moral oomph. Any more brain busters? Let's see.
Yo, what up? I got a Alexa from Amazon. For
spy
like
device.
99 cents. And 99 I come
cents.
Home and I'm like, yo, bitch, play me some Palmer Squares. And the first song is this song about Chicago. It's like, no city you win. It's fucking dope. You guys rock. Nice work. Just want to tell you, good job.
Just want to tell you, good job.
Well done.
You said you got an Alexa from Amazon for 99 cents. My girlfriend the other day was like, Spotify is trying to give away a Google Mini. And I was like, what's a Google Mini? And she's like, well, it's like an Alexa. It's like a little mini. I was like, get that spy bullshit out
right.
of my house.
They're just
Why
giving
do you think
it
they're
away
giving it away?
Because the value is not in it. It's in having it in your home
yeah.
so they can spy on you.
Oh, 99 cents, free. Please, just put this in your fucking home so we can spy on you furthermore. Put one in each room. We don't know enough about what the fuck you're doing and what you're plotting.
Yeah, I listened to Edward
If you have
Snowden
a dick for a butt or not.
On Joe Rogan.
Bars.
I had Edward Snowden on.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be more scary, like you're going to finish it and be all paranoid. And
it's kind of tame. I listened to like half of it.
The first half is all just like his own history and the country's history to build up, to when he worked for the NSA.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was expecting more like, I'm going to throw this thing in the garbage, or what am I going to have to put tape over by the end of this podcast?
Yeah, we have one of those fucking like home devices and it just sits unplugged because I don't want it on. I don't want it plugged in. I don't want it in my house.
And plugging it in every time you use it sort of defeats the purpose of having it.
It's like I heard somebody once, or somebody in an interview saying, because they were like all on top of the new devices, and somebody else was like, oh, I'm a little leery of like where the cloud is and the you know, capturing conversations in private. And he was like, look, like with all this technology, you know, there's downsides and upsides. And I feel like you kind of need to be all in, and I am, you know, or totally out. I get it. And, like, I'm like, somewhere in the middle. Like, I got my fucking phone. I like being able to, like, I used to say into the remote back in the day. I kind of missed that. It'd be like, Netflix. I'd just pop on. And be like,
right.
Hey, technology.
Right.
But it's just, like, my voice saying Netflix is fucking somewhere. Like, it's somewhere.
Well, and if it can hear your voice saying Netflix when you press it.
I would always say Netflix to annoy my girlfriend, and it would always work.
Yeah.
Always pulls it up.
There's Asians living here.
Come on.
Who need a hand.
Come on, man. Simidoy.
Yeah, I don't. If it can record you or listen to you when you're holding the thing, doesn't it still have the ability to you know work when you're not holding the thing?
Yeah, it's like when they tell you put your phone
sound
on
dumber.
Put your phone in airplane mode because we're taking off. It's like, what if I don't? Are we gonna crash?
Nothing happens.
Yeah, nothing happens. So it's the same in reverse. It's
if
like
it would
whether
actually,
it's on or off, that shit has the capability to fly.
If it would actually jeopardize. Like the safety of the, not even the people, the passengers, like the
Fuck
crew,
them.
They wouldn't let you even have it on. It
wouldn't, yeah.
They would give you those little bags that Dave Chappelle has at his shows.
Yeah, or it would be like and widely removed from the fucking phone. Whatever that feature is, it'd be like, everybody has phones, now we can't fly. It's like, dude, My Bluetooth, like, it needs to be on. I can't be on airplane mode if I'm using a Bluetooth thing. I think I'm saying, dude, I'm listening to my headphones.
I think you can use Bluetooth on an airphone.
I just remember, like, I just stopped shutting airplane. That shit off to, like, my headphones were giving me shit. I'd be like, look, yeah, this thing is flying. I'm not worried about it.
At least my fucking provider, even if you don't put it on airplane mode, it's not like you can use it when you're 30,000 feet in the air. It doesn't have a signal. Yeah. But, yeah, it's not going to make the plane crash.
Let's start a movement. Fucking no airplane mode in the air. And then until a plane crashes. It's just like silent vigilantism. Here, this has been a while. Who is this?
Oh, bloody hell, bollocks. It's the English homie. How you doing, guys? Hope you're all good. Bloody frick.
Bugger! Piss! Bollocks!
Nothing too
tea and
crazy,
crumpets.
But I was wondering if you'd listen for me. I know you've spoke about grind before. You said something about listening to Chipmunk or whatever. He's shit. Okay?
Got us into YouTube,
baby. He doesn't represent
baby.
Grime. He is terrible, and you had every right to comment on.
We didn't have every right back then.
We had no right.
He was shit.
He's great. Honestly.
But
love him.
I'd like you to listen to a grime artist called, well, Dizzy Rascal, his name is.
I know who Dizzy Rascal is.
His last album, called Rascit, was a grime album. And I just want you to listen to the first 5 songs of the album. And just tell me what you think, because I thought it was a really good
the
opening.
The first 5 songs of it.
Like
tell me what you
strong,
think. It's called Rascit.
And I want to hear your views on grime music. I know you haven't listened to much English rap before,
much.
So yeah, tell us what you think. That'd be mint. So I'll leave it there anyway. Love you lots, guys. Bollocks, bollocks, bollocks. Bye. Love you. Bye, bye, bye.
I'll leave it there anyway. Thank you, English homie Chris. Hope you're doing well.
I was going to go see The Lighthouse later on.
I just saw that.
Is that what it's like?
Hey, bloody shit. Freak, peas off. No, it's not. It's not at all like that. I was watching, I saw The Lighthouse recently.
Like squinting at audio.
I was like, you know when you watch the Oscars and they do like, best actress, Emma Stone, The Favorite, and then they show like a little snippet of her doing like a dot. It's like that's, I was watching The Lighthouse and there was like a Willem Dafoe thing where he's like yelling at Robert Pattinson's character. And I was like picturing Willem Dafoe.
This is the clip.
And he's like, if I tell you go out there and scrub the barnacles off a fucking octopus pecker, you'll do it. He's like yelling. I'm like, this is the clip that they would use.
Right.
He was really good.
Like in Precious. When Monique's all like crying at Mariah Carey and the camera's like,
yeah.
Hated that.
But
it's one of those obvious, like, oh, when she gets the thing, this will be the thing that they show at the thing.
Ah, the thing over there.
But too bad the fucking cameraman's having a seizure or something.
Yeah, if nothing else,
I feel nauseous.
If nothing else,
and the emotion of the scene is totally lost.
Cinematography, I'll probably get a nod for this Lighthouse shit. Just
yeah, I've heard good things.
Old timey looking, but beautiful like composition shit.
I saw Jojo Rabbit.
Yeah,
it's excellent. I really liked it.
That's the Nazi comedy they've been selling me on.
Yeah, it's about a Hitler youth
Hulu commercials
boy, who has an imaginary friend Hitler, and one day he discovers there's a Jew girl being hidden above, you know, in his house upstairs.
In the
I don't
attic.
Know why that was so
the
hard.
Attic.
I don't think it's an attic.
The cliche
it's like,
place where the Jewish
it's like
girl
in
hides.
A wall in one of the bedrooms, you know. And that his mom must be hiding this girl and everything. And, you know, what starts with there's a dirty Jew living upstairs, slowly over time turns into like he starts to like the girl and sees she's endearing and not a monster.
It was a Stockholm syndrome, was it?
It was. Right. She tricked him. It was really good. It was very funny. It was also, it's one of those movies that really does a good balance of humor and drama.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I welled up a couple times, whereas like a minute earlier I was laughing.
Yeah. I watched... I was looking for like a Sunday night, right? I was like, hey, babe, let's watch a movie. I look for something
I'm gonna go watch a movie.
Something out recent, like a new release thing that's got decent reviews. But also, so there's this movie Booksmart, right? And I wanted something that like my girlfriend might like instead of forcing her to
Beanie
watch these
Siegel.
Horror movies every fucking
What's that
day.
Girl's name?
Huh?
Bean something. It's Jonah Hill's sister.
Okay, that makes so much sense because
and they were marketing it as like a female Superbad, which I think was not great.
I missed the marketing of this, but I saw good reviews all about it, and I was like, maybe yeah. I thought it was gonna be a drama. I was like, I was in for like a movie.
I tried to go see it with my girl months ago, and she was like, and I pitched it as like, I think it's kind of like a chick version of Superbad and stuff, and she, I think that's when we saw Ma instead.
Ugh, it was probably better. Well, I honestly only made it like 10 minutes into this movie, and we put something else.
Homeboy from Spencer from Santa Cruz recommended it.
What, Booksmart?
Yes, I almost watched it on the
plane.
I
couldn't make it. I was watching 10-15 minutes of it, and it was like, I was like, all right, so she's the Jonah Hill, she's the Michael Cera.
Yeah,
it's their they're graduating.
It's one of those,
and they didn't like party enough.
Coming of age high school takes place over the span of one day movies.
I couldn't do it. It was too. I thought it was gonna be more of like a dramatic coming of age.
Maybe
drama.
Maybe one of them got touched.
I'll never know.
Maybe it turns into like a Catholic priest. It's really about her brother. maybe yeah,
that's the extent of what I watched.
They find out that there's a chip in one of them, and the government's chasing them. And then there, it's
that's
like an action Jason Statham style.
I want like Jonah Hill's sister in Mrs. Robot. You know, I need some fucking sci-fi brainwash stuff going on. Dizzy Rascal. Oh, bloody hell!
I don't know who Dizzy Rascal is.
I don't. How do you know who Dizzy Rascal is?
Because I used to watch Nevermind the Buzzcocks, which is a show from England.
Right.
That got canceled, but it was like a two teams quiz show, and on each team is one comedian who's on every episode, and then each of them every episode get two...
Like a partner.
Two partners.
Like $100,000 pyramid, right? They pair them up with a celeb.
Right. Two celebs on each side. And it's like a all music related quiz show.
Yeah.
So they often get like musicians and actors and shit as the guests. Love Nevermind the Buzzcocks. So Dizzy Rascal was on a number of times.
I'll check it out. Look, I'm English homie Chris. If I were, I got to find time to. I stopped working out. I'm just fat now. I just gave up. But that used to be when I'd listen to an album. Let's go for a run. Now I'm just
put one on and have a snack.
I'm gonna run some crackers down my throat. I got into Skepta a lot with the, and it was really just his fucking. You never thought you would see me in a lounge.
You never thought.
He had an album called Konnichiwa from like 4 years ago or something.
It's a good one. There's like
super good.
Three or four legit, like dope ass songs.
Slappers, dude. That album. And It's sort of like a thin line when I listen to like foreign rap or English rap. I half love that it's so different from like, I don't know, American dialect.
Feels like
the accent, you know,
almost like
you can do more with like certain words. Like things rhyme differently because of the fucking the way they
well,
do like
like
this.
I'm a little like intellectual right now. I'm getting cultured. You know, I'm not just listening to my own people's thing.
Yeah, like and they like they call the. The trunk of the car, the boot or something, or like the,
right.
like language that's different and making references and shit that I wouldn't say because I'm not from there. And it's just, it's dope to me. And Skepta's Konnichiwa album, like, I was like, damn, this dude is like a hard-ass rapper and it's like super English sounding with different, I don't know.
Yeah, when I said
bending different words to fit.
I used to love watching Nevermind the Buzzcocks. It's like, for the same reasons and as enjoyable as it was, there was always like, one or more jokes on every episode where it kind of goes over my head.
Yeah.
Because it's either a reference to some person in England who's like their, you know, version of something we have here, like a soap opera act, their Susan Lucci or whoever.
Sure.
And I don't know who they mean.
I don't know who you mean.
It's just the queen of soap television.
I don't watch soaps, dog.
Neither do I, but I know who Susan Lucci is. Never I watch Friends, her. And Joey's part of the soap circuit, bro.
I didn't get into Friends that much.
It's pretty tight. But yeah, or it would be like some slang that it kind of just
I went back and
went
listened
over
to
my head.
Skepta's like earlier work because I thought that, and it was like not good to me. It like that album, I listened to the album before it, and it was like way more like poppy and like sometimes like, you know, like synthy trumpets and horn sounds, but it's clearly not like, it's very like stock, someone pushing a, you know, not even a, it just sounds like the, It sounded more amateur and poppy. Like it was it didn't work.
I gotta sit down.
Konnichiwa was like on some I don't know, harder rap shit, and I liked it a lot.
Hort.
But yeah, I'll give it a spin. I'll give it a run. I'll give it a whirl. What's this?
Let's give me one more.
Did you say you? Did you have? You said you had fan questions or people
listen
send you Twitter DM shit or something?
Somebody said.
Bring them out. Bring them out.
Ecstatic talk on Instagram said.
Like ecstatic TikTok.
Ecstatic with talk at the end, got like it. TikTok.
Got it.
If you got a face tat, what would it be of?
Fingerboard. two fingers.
That's almost, too easy. Yeah. I want a fingerboard like crooked grinding my eyebrow.
With like sparks coming off, like, you know.
Or get like the cartoon, like one by one thing, you know?
Yeah, like.
Of like popping off my nose, kickflip, crook my eyebrow.
I want a 3D tat.
Right down my cheek.
Require like plastic surgery. I want to build a rail like coming off of my forehead. Brow to brow, super ramp.
I can't even answer like if I just got a tattoo. What I would get.
Yeah, I would not get a face tattoo.
I was just speaking to our homie Christian who sent us Wizard People. Still haven't watched.
We got to do that. And I feel like we need to watch it together. Like,
that's what I was saying.
Yeah, we got to do that.
Let's
set a date. Me and you. Like the old times.
Movie date. We'll pop some corn. Cuddle up on the couch.
Mm-hmm.
Christian sent me, look at this fucking new piece that he got. Full back tat of what he said.
Sopranos lineup.
It's an eagle catching a rabbit, which he said is something he witnessed with his own eyes on a frolf course. Look how crazy that is.
That is insane.
So good.
It covers up like 75% of the left half of his back, and then like the wing comes over, you know.
That's what I told him is there's two Holy reasons shit. I don't want to get a tattoo.
Big
One,
old wingspan.
Too indecisive. It's always been my nature. I want what I can't have, and when I get something that I wanted, it's like almost like I don't want it anymore. And I can't imagine getting any sort of tattoo without, I don't know, a year later, like wanting it not there anymore.
Yeah, I have a few tattoos. I went through that year later phase of all that. If it's not a little regrettable, it's not really a tattoo, is it?
I guess not.
Oh, let me get a flower, blossom.
And I admire the ability, someone like Christian, to see something amazing like that and go like, I'm getting that tattooed.
Yeah. I didn't talk about this, but I went when we were on All My Demons tour, I was talking with a tattoo artist that it didn't end up happening like schedule wise and everything, but like last minute I was trying to get like an All My Demons tat made up, like something like a demonic television behind that screen, mm-hmm. the whole fucking
right.
But it like that's my thing. I want to like get tats on tour that relate to our tours and our songs, especially collaborative stuff with people. You know, that's memories to me. But then Boyish Mind hits us out of the fucking blue with a hand face. He did our t-shirts, you know, the square monsters and the palm smoking the joint.
Right.
Blowing out Palmer Square's text.
And the smiley face tee.
Yeah. So he's great. And he sent like a fingerboard, like doing a kickflip and put our name on it. I wouldn't have the Palmer Squares. I would never tat Palmer Squares on me, but I would get the fingerboard. I like legit went to a shop in LA after the All My Demons idea didn't pan out and brought them there, but they didn't have like, it was like last minute and you kind of,
yeah.
You know, you want to have a little trust in the artist or like set it up. It's not the way to go about it, but I'm kind of on that seat of your pants with a tattoo thing. Like, yeah, I'll regret this in a year, man. I'll regret it probably tomorrow. But it sounds fun. Like, I'm going to get that. I'm tatting the Boyish Mind fingerboard thing somewhere. Ass, back.
Little tushy tat.
Face. I don't know.
Yeah, face tat. I mean, there's people with, like, something so minor as to, like, a little X, like, right here that you almost can't even
why
see. Just to not have to get anything else that you could see.
But then why even do it?
I don't know. I guess the question was if you had
just
to.
Just to say I have a face tat. I have a face tat. You have to fucking use a microscope.
How about like outline my eyebrows, like Latina girls outline their lips?
Let's see what's going on.
How about eyes on my eyelids so it looks like my eyes are open when they're shut?
Been done. I guarantee someone's done that.
The question's not something that's never been done.
Oh, the question apparently is, Term, are you a hack? The answer was yes. Here's another question. Was that the only question you had?
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
I guess.
Gotcha.
Wait, there was... No.
No. I got another one. Let's do it.
I made it. Okay.
Yo, Squares. Watching Rhythm and Flow with my wife here.
My shirt. Ooh,
I love my wife.
And we were just thinking it would be crazy if you guys were to, like, try out and make it as individuals.
Individuals? And,
like, you guys. You
trying to break my band up, bro? Trying to fuck up my family?
Blow up crazily, like, fame is big. And then people come to realize that you guys are a duo. And, man, that'll be... I don't know. We were just thinking that'll be pretty fucking
I like
dope.
His, like... he talks in installments.
Going? Yeah. He sounds like us trying to talk to each other.
That type of show or whatever. Anyways, right on for the show you guys rocked in San Francisco the other day.
That wasn't the other day. That was weeks ago.
I guess this is an older one. We were behind. I didn't want. We weren't. Rhythm and Flow was out on Netflix, and we were out on tour.
Right.
I watched a couple. I watched the first one, and then I watched the Cardi B one, which
aren't they all Cardi B ones?
Well, like the first couple are like T.I. goes to Atlanta, and then like
the first episode, it's like 25 minutes of just famous people going and hanging out with other famous people.
Yeah,
like,
it was
where's the fucking guys you haven't heard of rapping raps?
Episode 2, 3, and 4.
So T.I. goes and hangs out with Nipsey Hussle.
So they all like go after that. The
Cardi
three...
goes and sees Snoop, and Chance goes and sees Anderson .Paak. It's like
Cardi goes and sees Fat Joe and Jadakiss, and that like they have, and then Chance brings out Royce da 5'9" and Twista for his judges, and they all go to their like city. Like Cardi goes New York, Atlanta goes T.I. goes Atlanta.
Which to me sounds like they're not confident enough in just the people trying out as well, the content of the show, that this isn't going to keep people. We're going to need a bunch of celebrities.
Well, they make it very like locationally based. Like Chance the Rapper from Chicago goes to find the next Chicago
artist.
Right,
and then I saw a clip of some dude killing it on a piano.
Somewhere pretty good.
At the Chicago one. I was like, he gets a piano? The LA ones we were watching was like, it looked like the Wild 'N Out set.
I kind of, I got to say, I watched the New York one.
Chicago
one's
a giant stage with a piano.
And I watched the Chance one in Chicago. Little bias, but the talent in the Chicago one was better to me, which was weird. Like, there was some, it's all politics too. Like, they fucking were passing. I couldn't believe it. They passed on one dude that was like good, but he was like fat and had no stage presence, but he was like lyrically like better than the others, I thought. And they're
right.
Like, sorry,
MF Doom.
You're not going to Hollywood.
Action Bronson.
And then some girl who's like 18 and has a sob story, you know, and then like she was not good. And then they even tell her, all three judges tell her, like, look, you got a lot of work to do. I understand you're out here, you're like hustling for yourself, whatever. They do all these like rap compliments, like keeping it lit, keeping it 100. I see you. I see that.
That's love.
That's love. Love. It's like all rappers speak of like good job.
There was like 5 whole minutes. When we were watching that show, it's like nobody has said anything of any substance in the past.
Look, man,
5 minutes.
You know what I'm saying? You gotta just come outside the
box. It's all just been like little slang conversational filler.
But I, and then they're like, I'm saying like they're gonna like let her go through. They're like, all three of them like just critiqued her like she's not ready, and they're like, but you going to Hollywood? Like, all right. And then
did I say that? Isn't that American Idol's thing?
But that's what they're doing. They're collecting people from the cities they represent as the hosts of the show, and then they're sending them all to like an LA group thing where the judges will be, I imagine, T.I., Cardi B, and Chance. Like, right. I only watched 2 episodes.
Yeah.
And but that's where it was going. And I cannot see either of us performing on that. And also, whoever wins this show is not going to be the next fucking Cardi B, Chance, or T.I. Like, let's see in 3 years if...
Do you think it'll even be... Because American Idol, for a little bit, had that... Where, like, Kelly Clarkson was the first one, and she is legitimately became a name off of it.
Maybe somebody does. There's
didn't Carrie Underwood come from American Idol?
I don't know. Probably. I didn't. There was definitely good talent, though, on the show. But it was, you know, it's a show. It's a show, and it plays like a show. Everybody's driving around in the car with a voiceover and just a city aerial skyline shot.
Right.
And it's a show.
I mean, you could definitely... like use it to build something.
I just don't think
sustainable
like,
and big.
I like the our fan caller calls in sounding like my head, like watching the show, be like, what if I like tried out myself and I like beat everybody and then like Palmer Squares blew up? Wouldn't that be awesome? Like that's how my head is thinking watching it. And then Chance is so nice. Like I wanted a little more Chicago. Remember, I've talked about the Chicago rudeness I like coming home to a little bit. You know, like, hey, yeah. what do you recommend, bartender? And then they pop a Pabst in your face. Like, there's my recommendation.
We got back like 2 weeks ago and then went to go pick up all the P.O. box shit. And some guy, we mailed a couple things, but we had to fill out all the, one was international, you got to fill out some slips.
So we're standing kind of where the line forms, but we're not in line. We're just filling out addresses for fan mail.
So it's like a lady at a counter, but then there's like a little, to the right, there's like a little, you know, quotes line that mm-hmm. you're supposed to go and walk from that side. It's a really dumb rule.
It's, you know, it's like when they have it roped off at the movie theater, like a whole zigzag, but there's no one in line, so you just kind of walk up to the front.
Totally acceptable.
Right.
Which this guy does, and then instead of just, like, helping the guy, the girl's first thing is, like, he asks, you know, can I mail this? And then she goes, yeah, but the line is over there.
And then we and wave him over. Off. We waved it off. We're like, hey, we're good. We're going to be a minute.
And he goes, yeah, no one's in line.
And she goes, well, I didn't know if they was in line or not, so I'm just letting you know you got to make sure you're standing in place in line.
And it went on so long to a point where the guy just walked away with his package, and he's like...
But he's like, let me get your name. What is your name? What is your name, ma'am? And she's like, says her name. And she's like, sorry, sir. And like, he's like, you know what? She's like, what can I do for you? He's like, you know what? You can't do anything for me. What's your name? This is unbelievable. All you've been doing is giving me 2 minutes of guff over here.
It was like, not 2 minutes. It was
He blew up on her.
25 seconds.
And they
Which is a long time to harp on the fact that the guy didn't get in the line that no one's in anyway.
They were both sort of right and sort of wrong. Like,
she could have saved that protocol for after the transaction.
Right. So she basically lost service and didn't care and was just like, I don't care,
sir. They don't give a shit. Yeah, it's the post
it's
office.
USPS.
Which is a failing enterprise. And they should care, but the people that work there have no stake
but like,
in the
I know
matter.
Me and you are like kind of like just chuckling with our heads down, signing the fan addresses. Because there is a little bit of like...
Welcome home.
Hey, Shy City, my city. I love that. There's a little bit of like...
Later that day, got a ticket.
We don't give a fuck.
Well, I was at your place. Welcome home.
Yeah.
Oh, you've been away? Give me $60.
So anyways...
Piece of shit.
It's Chicago episodes of this Chance, and he brings, you know, his Midwest representatives to judge the Chicago talent they found, Twista and Royce. And they were all so nice. They were all so fucking nice. Chance is so great at being
Royce,
like...
Royce the 5'9", from Detroit.
Right, it was like Midwest, you know. I guess they couldn't find enough. I guess they could. I guess Lupe was busy. No, they brought Lupe out for the open mic that Chance does at the Harold Washington Library, and he, like... picked people from there to do the audition. Anyways, too fucking nice. Like, I wanted a little bit of Chicago. Because Fat Joe in the New York episode would be like, Tog, what the fuck are you wearing? Like, he would just light him up. And I wanted a little bit of Chicago, like, he was just so nice, man. He's just like, look, you're going to have a long, prosperous future as an artist. Like, you have so much potential. I just think you need to, you know, work on your craft. Work on your grind. I wanted it to be like, no, like, buzzer. Send some people the fuck out of there that were that whack. But I guess it's better. I guess you get more bees with honey, right?
Which, like, why do you want bees?
I don't want bee one.
I don't think it's bees. I think it's flies. Catch more flies with honey than with salt.
Look, I fuck up every turn of phrase.
I think it's sugar. You catch more flies with sugar than with salt.
Well, look, that's what my grandma used to say, and she wasn't too bright. I don't know. You catch more something with honey than with vinegar. That's what
vinegar.
Yeah, you catch more flies with honey. Why do you want flies? Why would you want bees or flies anywhere near you?
Maybe like to lure them in and kill them.
Yeah.
Which isn't honey.
That's vinegar in disguise. The VN word.
You evil bitch, Grandma.
Let's do one more.
Hey, guys. I'm wondering what your thoughts are on using a backtrack of your vocals when playing a show. I'm thinking of having a backtrack for the riff, obviously, but possibly having the verses be at a much lower volume than the mic.
He's thinking like he's doing a show?
So this gentleman has a show in the future. Maybe new to it.
Don't do it. Remember your words.
That's going to be my advice, too.
Practice.
No, you know what? I got to give that Chicago rudeness. Dog, you can't remember the shit you wrote?
Yo, if you need a backtrack, you might as well just get the fuck up out the game, bro.
Get the fuck off my stage.
That's love.
It's love, though. It's all good. For real, though, there's a bunch of different approaches. The worst approach is to just rap over the track. Like, I've seen I've seen, like, kids opening up and stuff, and, like, that's what they're doing. And still, I say don't do that. I've seen dudes that are, like, on. Like, I'm excited to see, and they do it. You know, like, famous people. And I'm just like, what? Like, it immediately... to me, is like a rung lower on the the grade scale, on the ladder. It's like, well, you just lost a point. You'd lose a point if you're rapping over your entire track. To me, maybe that's part of the culture, you know? I don't know. I think it sounds cluttered. I think it shows like a little bit of amateur. But if you're an amateur, maybe you need to work up to, I don't know, maybe it works for you, but you can't, I'd say just skip that phase altogether.
Yeah, could
really
mean,
rehearse your words.
Could mean a lot of things.
And it then drop them. Fuck them up. It happens. Fuck up.
Amateur shit, like if I don't have it playing, I'm not going to know where I am in the song.
Right.
Or it could be like fucking ego of some dudes, like, it's not important, you know, the song I'm playing. It's the fact that I'm there in the flesh, and that should be good enough. It's like, no, I also want you. I mean, it's both.
Yeah.
You go to a live show, like when we saw MF Doom, and it was not MF Doom, it was the impersonator guy.
I was just talking recently about when, like, we saw Joey Badass in Pro Era, and there was that show in Chicago years ago with Flatbush Zombies, yeah. Underachievers, and Pro Era.
Yeah.
That was such a fucking good show, and I was so impressed by Joey Badass and Pro Era. They didn't have the track at all. If they would have been rapping over the track for their entire set, I probably wouldn't have liked that show.
Right, like, it also just shows it. I think more like conviction in your words and your performance when you don't. It's coming from you. It's not all coming from the PA.
So I know it's like easier said than done a lot of times. And like, man, we've shared the stage with people that do that and they're cool and I like them. And it's like, I'm kind of too pussy to say like right to their face right then after their set when they kind of did a good job rapping over the track. Like, I want to say don't do that, but it's hard. And I. Like I'm saying here now to the podcast, to you, sir, I think it's way better not to do that. You're just setting yourself up to be a more, you know, like practiced rapper in the future, to know what it takes to have to, how much you need to rehearse, or maybe you don't. Like sometimes it's kind of automatic. Sometimes you really need to practice, or you're trying something new, or you always get tied up at this one part because, you know, you're rhyming eight similar things and you say bar six at bar four because you keep flip-flopping it or something. Like, you just got to practice a lot. We leave the choruses on.
My flip-flop.
Have a sip, my flip-flop. We have, like, never had nothing, ain't got nothing. Now, that'd still be...
La, 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 la.
We keep that, and then, again, we'll be on
hooks
top of that.
Hooks are a different thing.
Yeah, no, that's fine. It's really hard to reproduce, like, especially if you're layering and harmonizing and singing or have, like, overlap stuff.
I ain't talking about the hook.
We're not talking about the hook. We're talking about your verse and your punchlines and your bars. You definitely don't want to be rapping over the track. People leave ad-libs or sometimes like a little double of this one line because you know you have to breathe there, and it's a little right. Like if there's something cool about it, or it ends with a sound effect or a buckshot or something. Like, find the spots for breath and work them into the rehearsal. And like, I used to write leaving no breath spot, and like now I'll think about that. But before, I still have songs that I perform that back then that I, when I wrote it, I wasn't leaving the breath spot, and now I have to drop a couple words, or like that's the part term does, because you need those points. And yeah, if you just like, that's what it looks like if you're rapping over the track. All right, right off the bat, he's bad at memorization, bad at breath control, you know, lonely loser.
Then this ain't for you, dog.
But yeah, from the Palmer Square's opinion, you gotta be working hard enough to remember your words. And here's one big thing that will take a long time to be comfortable with: fucking up, forgetting a line. I talked last week about how I dropped my entire bunk verse out of a confusion of who went next. That was like, you don't want to do that. Like, it was that was last song of the night. It really didn't matter. It was a group cut, so someone jumped in and saved me eventually. Anyways, you don't have that luxury. But in general, there's been points still now where, like, you drop a line and you got to know how to get back in, or know how to go off the top and kind of finish the verse to reach where that hook is on the track, yeah. You know?
We saw Wax.
Or know how to be like, you know, just fuck around and be like, no, everybody, hands up. And just, like, kill that time if it's only 2-3 bars away. Like, make it look like, you know, you didn't notice that. I stumbled, but no one saw that.
We saw Wax.
You got to be comfortable, like, joking about the fact that you fucked up, or kind of knowing how to get past it. I'll like, cut a song early and be like, ah, I fucked that one up. Let's go to another one. Like, you can do that. I didn't know you could do that for a long time, so I would just stand there frozen. Every time I dropped 4-8 bars, whatever, I'd be like, what is it? I'd be looking around like, Seth, do you know? Somebody, tell me my own fucking words. And then, like, you can yell, yo, DJ, cut that shit. You can say that. Like, you can figure out how to be comfortable fucking
That's
up.
That's enough of that one. I mean, especially when you're in a stage where you know, maybe you've never even played before. Nobody knows who you are. Nobody knows how these songs go.
Yeah.
You drop a line.
4 times 7 grams is an elbow. Sounds fine.
I didn't
Sounds
notice. Fine. Yeah, we saw Wax in L.A. on his Push On tour a couple weeks ago. And in the middle of some song, he just like, you know, some dude's wearing a certain shirt or something. He just stops rapping his verse and like, oh, shit, this guy's got on this. Or it's a guy had a tattoo of Wax or something.
Yeah.
And he's just talking to, and then like, what's that? And the guy says something back to him, and then he laughs at what the guy said, and then right back into...
He jumps right in the same
four
spot.
Bars later where he should be.
Yeah. But that takes what... practice. That's practice.
Practice pays makes off. Perfect.
Yeah. But yeah, as best you can, cut the verse track on the live thing and just rehearse. Read it. Use all your senses. Use your sense of sight to read your verse while you're saying it out loud and hearing it from your own voice into your own ears, and then put the phone down or whatever you're reading it up. Put the pad down. Do it from memory.
Ultimately,
hit that point where you fuck it up. Look again until you can go top to bottom.
Stop being a little bitch.
Stop being a little punk, y'all. And you do that, sky's the limit. Next thing you know, you could be on the TPS Reports podcast. Thank you, everybody, for listening. 120 god darned episodes. Too many. If you ask me, dude, we listened to, I'm really trying to think of something to do on Patreon, and I was like, oh, there's this old episode from like 2 years ago that we never released because we were still like new, yeah. And it would be fun to put that on Patreon.
Would
listen
it,
to 2 minutes of it.
Would
I was
it be
like,
fun?
Let's bury this like Ordinary Dogs mixtapes. Like, this can't see the light of day. Practice.
If it were a physical thing, we would take it out back and go Office Space.
Smash it. You've been listening. TPS Sports Podcast. TPS Sports Podcast @gmail.com. Send us some more fan mail, please. Speaking of fan mail, please.
The Palmer Squares. P.O. Box 25607.
27, asshole.
Fuck!
P.O. Box 25627.
I'm mailing everyone who ordered the Junkyard Samurai Simpsons shit, and I got to fill it all out by hand. I've written it down 50 times.
Oh, 51. See, practice makes perfect. One of these days, he'll know that's a two. Again, the Palmer Squares, P.O. Box 25627, Chicago, Illinois.
60625.
That is correct. Send fingerboards. Yeah. Send love. Send farts in jars. It's all going to the same spot.
Mm-hmm.
Our nostrils. 708-797-3079. That's the voicemail line. Call in. Tell us a story.
I should have stopped on the way here and checked if we had any farts in jars.
Yeah, I was thinking about it too, but we were saying, let's do it like monthly. Maybe in a week or two. That's when we do it. Maybe before we go to Florida on November 27th in Jacksonville. November 28th in Orlando. November 29th, St. Pete. That is the word right now.
Not shows to miss. It's the Wax Push On Tour. We will be opening up for UBI.
Yeah, we're playing a shorter, like, 35-minute set or something.
Lance.
Skywalker.
Skywalker and Wax. Along with DJ IFTW and Feral the Earthworm.
And lastly, not leastly, but certainly lastly, New Year's Eve, last day of the year, Cleveland. We're going to be at the House of Blues in Cleveland again, not headlining, but opening up for Tropidelic, the Ohio Homies. And that's December 31st, House of Blues. Subscribe to the podcast, yada, yada, yada. Follow Junkyard Samurai on socials.
Tickets to all those shows at thepalmersquares.com/tour.
And we still have Junkyard Samurai Simpsons tees available. Go to junkyardsamurai.us/shop and get those before they're gone because the ones we have will be gone eventually, soon-ish. I got to get mine before it's too late. And fucking the vinyls. Spooky Language Napalm vinyl record, still on sale now at Jason Bishop has them on sale now at bishoprecords.com. Again, bishoprecords.com. Fuck, I can't do it. I can never make
you
it to the home stretch.
Suck.
Thanks,
everybody. Palmersquares.com. There's a link up there. Takes you to bishoprecords.com. Copy
well, that's,
Spooky Language
why,
Napalm.
Cut out the middleman, asshole.
Vinyl.
Just go to bishoprecords.com.
No, because then they go to art. Page, and while they're there, they listen to a thing, they
click
buy something else.
People don't listen to our shit on the website. Are you kidding me?
They could.
They don't. They don't. Let's end this week with something from the homie Joey Cool, our
Cooley,
Under Bad Influence tour mate, along with UBI last year, was Joey Cool. Got to, you know, basically lived in a van with those guys for fucking 2 months. And Joey was in town in Chicago recently, so went out, had a beverage with him, and caught up. And
did you lick your beverage out of a dog bowl?
No, like that was like I've been doing good about drinking. I was like, what do you do with a friend who's in town? That's what me and Joey did on tour. We had Modelo's and shit. I know I'm going to go have a drink. So I didn't get too fucked up, but had a couple drinks. And then the next day, I'm like, all right, back to clean living. And then an hour later, Dog Bowl, Free Miller Lights. But yeah, I was listening. I listened to Joey's album, like half of it when it came out. And I didn't finish it, so I finished it. And let's end with something by him. This is Come On by Joey Cool off his album Old Habits Die Hard. And we'll see you next week on the TBS Sports Podcast. Smooches.
Bill Whitey! There you go, like a black cat with the crown on it. Come on. If it's right there, he gon' slash that. Got stabbed on it. Come on. Young man, hit a rumbo with a jungle. Come on. Come on.
Come on, come on, come on.
You can bring it right here. Come on. I was born with this chip of mine that's encrypted the size of them boulders. Yeah. I was told if you visualize it, no mental right, then it's over. Yeah, your mind state is on independence, bitch. This is Mr. October. Meaning I'll be independent, you gotta have it to get it. I'm a fanatic about it, a nice soldier. That's a literal shot to my nigga ISO. I be living whatever doing, it's my show. I need 100% of whatever I grows. Hit the ground running, I'm coming when I'm a hypo. It's a fucker be flowing, I don't know by two. In my 30 for something, I seen an eyeful. Ain't no double a stunt wherever I go. What a tech, I need and tipping, it's on the Bible. Badass and I'm gassed up and I'm past lucky, been passed up. Past that, cause your bad luck, we do not touch, go ahead back up. Cracking up, cause you act tough and you act as if you ain't mad much. Like I'm mad, fuck, no, I'm mad up. I'ma continue to get it, yo, with the bad rock. There you go, like a black cat with the crown on it. Come on, if it's right there, he gon' slash that. Got stabbed on it. Come on, young man, hit a rumbo, with a jungle. Come on. Come on,
come on, come on.
You can bring it right here. Come on.
Oh, goddamn. Hey. Oh, goddamn. Hey. Hey.
Commentating with hooligans, I let us speculate when we grind and make any moves again. I'm seeing if I got it, what's up again with them, what's up with you and Jay, when the fuck is y'all about to tour, man? See what we do with this often, recommend you pay attention when my niggas is talking. I'm a little bit offended by this lack of performance. You supposed to be this dope when you surrounded by awesome. This what happens when you resort to reacting like an animal who's capable of fantasy. Your attraction, I handle whatever obstacle, get the problem dismantled. See, I don't picture impossible, knock it off with the man. This fucking shit is phenomenal. Light him up with the cannon, line him up with the ammo. It's time to rub the handle with Jackie. If they attacking, I'm reaching back with the wrath of a god. I'm a little eye, but coolie baby be snapping, nigga. There you go, like a black cat with the crown on it. Come on, if it's right there, he gon' slash that. Got stabbed on it. Come on, young man, hit a rumbo with a jungle. Come on, come on,
come on, come on.
You can bring it right here.
Come on.